In this episode of Upward Calling, we talk about the importance of kindness. Welcome to Upward Calling. We help Christians develop a better relationship with God by taking a deeper dive on a lesson from a recent Sunday service and help you apply it throughout your week with Dr. Kenny Embry and the speaker of that week. How you doing, JP?
Hey, good afternoon, Kenny. I'm doing excellent. Great to see you today.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to finally get this done. I know this one's going to be a little bit later than usual, but hopefully all the planning and preparation will come out in our discussion today.
If you mean by planning and preparation, this is a very busy time for me. This is the end of the semester. This past Sunday, you talked about kindness, which is a component of love. You started off by talking about what university is known for, which I think is a great thing for us to know. I think that's, quite frankly, one of the most important things for us to know. It's easy for us to second guess, but if you just ask people, they'll tell you. So I'm curious, who did you ask when you asked about university?
That's a great question. When I think about what university is known for, I think as a newer member, because I've only been here for about 9 months,
yeah,
it's very nice to have my assessment,
sure,
of what I see university is known for. It's great to talk to some of our current members that have grown up or been at university for a very, very long time. And yet I think, you know, like the smell of our house, for instance, we kind of get used to it. We don't notice certain things about our house. That is very true of our home church as well. When we are used to the people and used to the way things are, our perception,
right,
might not be reality. So I reached out to several Christians in the area that I knew, and several non-Christians in the area, to see if they even knew that university was here.
Yeah.
I reached out to former members as well that have gone on to other works,
uh-huh,
and are worshiping with other families here in the Tampa area, because there's a plethora of choices that you have,
yes,
worshiping here in Tampa. But just what do you associate with, or what do you think of the University Church of Christ?
Right.
And the answers are really all over the place.
Yeah.
Some kind, some not so kind.
I understand that,
and
yeah,
ultimately, when I was planning out this series on love, I had to make a choice. Was I going to put patience and kindness together in one sermon?
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of it is overlapping, and so much of the idea behind love is patient is seen in love is kind. They're two sides of one coin. So in understanding what we're known for, we really need to see, are we known as people of love?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that's so important, Kenny, is because whatever you think we ought to be known for, we need to strive to be known for our love. So even when people disagree with our doctrine, other religions, other faiths, other churches that maybe don't see things the way we do, well, I don't agree with university. I don't agree with their stance on this issue.
Yeah.
I don't agree with how they've come to their conclusion. But you know what? I can't say they're not loving people.
Right.
And that just softens those conversations. It allows us to have an area in which we can have a safe place in which people can discuss their feelings, they can discuss their emotions. And that is important when you're going to get someone to talk about the text, because ultimately in our converting of people, we are trying to get people back to the Word of God. So we respect, we appreciate your emotions and your perspective on things. However, we need to try and strive to be as objective as possible. And that's where patience and kindness are going to lead us into being loving people.
You decided not to combine patience and kindness. By the way, I think that's the right answer. I think they are distinctly different. I think there is some overlap. But let me ask you this. What do you think kindness is?
Kindness is ultimately seen in our Lord. Kindness is seen in our God. One of my favorite accounts from the Old Testament is Moses asking God, God, show me your glory. Let me see your glory.
Yeah.
And God famously says, man, you can't see it. Like, if you see it, you're going to die. But he lets him see the back of him. And in that account, which we know very well in Exodus 33, you have in Exodus 34, Moses describing what he sees.
Mm-hmm.
And this is amazing because when it comes down to what is kindness, this is where our mind should go. And it's actually the most repeated verse in the Old Testament. So far, I've counted it 27 times, but I'm sure it's seen in more than that. But this is the most repeated verse. It comes from Exodus 34, verse 6. Moses seeing the glory of the Lord. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. God's mercy and God's kindness are what we see. When it comes down to what is kindness, it is God. God is kind. We looked at Sunday that kindness was manifested in the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The saying that people came up with right after the lesson, I thought it was tremendous. If I was smarter, I would have done this in my lesson. But Brother Eric mentioned, be kind, be Christ. Mm-hmm. And that beautifully summarizes what God is striving for us to understand, that if God is kind to all, the ungrateful and the unrighteous, yeah, then who am I to say I am not going to be kind? So
I'll tell you, it's easy to see Jesus being kind when he's bringing the little children to him. It's easy to see Jesus being kind when he's washing the disciples' feet. But in Matthew 23, when he's excoriating and just tearing up the Pharisees and the scribes, is that kind, JP?
It is. Kindness is not being pleasant and nice. And I think oftentimes when we try to define kindness, we look for other adjectives, mm-hmm, we look for other descriptors, or we try to say kindness looks like this. And kindness, as it's translated from the ancient Hebrew or even in the Greek, it's multifaceted. It's translated different ways. It's translated as helpfulness. It's translated as not harsh or not bitter, not acidic. You see so many different facets of kindness. And yet, one of the kindest things that we see Jesus doing when he reprimands the Pharisees and he reprimands the scribes, and I agree, if I just walked around calling people a hypocrite, people would be like, man, that's not kind. But that's not all that Jesus is doing. He is calling them out on their hypocrisy so that he might do good towards them, mm-hmm, and he might bring them back into relationship with God. And many of us as parents understand this. The kind thing is not always the easy thing. Kindness to my children lets me look at them and say, hey, you can do whatever you want. I don't care when you go to bed. I don't care what you wear. I don't care what you eat. That is kindness to my children. Kindness as an adult says, man, in my love and in my kindness, I can't let you do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Because if I did, you're not wise enough to understand what's good for you. And in fact, the nice thing would not be the kind thing because it's not the loving thing. Someone who lets their children do whatever they want, you could say they don't actually love their kids because kindness says the hard thing for their good. So Jesus doesn't just walk around being mean and aggressive. He's doing it for their good. You see this summarized in the kindness and severity of God as well. Because God is kind, he is severe as well. But isn't that the beauty of God's kindness, Kenny? It's that it's stable. God is kind to the unjust and the unmerciful, to the unrighteous, as much as he is kind to the little children. Mm-hmm. You see the stability in the character of God, and that is a beautiful description of what kindness ought to look like in our lives.
I think one of the things that I would say to that is you're because that harshness, and there's no two ways around it. Jesus being very harsh with the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 23 and other places as well. That's just the one that is in the last stage of Jesus's life. But one of the things that you have to say is when you look at kindness has, there's a generosity to it. There's a friendliness to it. There's a consideration to it, and realize that your real friends don't let you get away with stuff you shouldn't get away with. That if you are really somebody who is considerate, it means you consider what is good for them. And I think there is that conflation of, not just with kindness, but with love as well, that love is indulgence. And honestly, some of the most unloving thing you can do is indulging people's worst instincts. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. If kindness is a character trait of God that he has given to us, mm-hmm. the other character traits that are often associated with kindness, again, are patience, and they are mercy. And in a lot of ways, it's justice. Do patience, mercy, and justice not also come from our Lord? Do they not also come from our God? Yeah. So if God is kind, he is just. If God is kind and just, and he is going to repay evil for evil, which is what Exodus 34 and verse 6 continues on saying, mm-hmm. that because God abounds in his loving kindness, he is going to punish his people, and he's going to punish them for disobedience, and that will be visited upon the third and the fourth generation. At surface level, that doesn't sound kind, but again, the kindness is seen in the justice of God and how he is perfectly going to punish those who have rejected and pushed him away, very similar to what Jesus is doing.
Yeah, I think that I'm sure that scares all of us, and it should scare all of us. But the thing about it is the same one who is just like you said, the same one who is just is also merciful. You just have to ask for the mercy. You said that you struggle with kindness. Why do you think it's difficult to be kind?
Because I'm not patient.
You're putting them back together again, JP. Yeah, go ahead.
No. So I actually had this conversation with my wife leaving services on Sunday morning. And I expressed to her, first of all, preaching in general is very difficult because you have a mirror put right in front of you. And no one is going to let you know how short you've fallen better in some ways than yourself if you're really honest. Mm-hmm. And you're self-aware. We are in the car and we have lunch, and even at lunch, I have the temptation to be unkind. And nothing is really happening to me. I just have that tendency to be unkind. And this is what I told my wife. For me, it comes down to the reason that I struggle with kindness is because people don't do things the way that I want them done.
Right.
And when things don't get done the way that I want them done, I get annoyed. And my instinctive reaction is to be unkind. And it's not even with anything important. We were at lunch and someone sliced a sandwich in a way that I would not slice it. And my tendency is to get annoyed and to get aggressive and to get unkind because you aren't meeting my standard that I haven't even made clear. I haven't even communicated.
Right.
And I haven't even told you that I have a standard. And so I think that's why so many of us struggle with kindness, because we have unmet and unfulfilled expectations and desires.
Yeah.
Yet the scriptures would teach us, Galatians would teach us that reaction that we have that is very carnal, it's not spiritual, is coming because we have unfulfilled lusts and desires of the flesh. But when we have crucified the old man and we have put on the new man and we have taken on the fruit of the Spirit, what's the fruit of the Spirit? It's kindness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. And that's just a small facet of why I think it's so hard to be kind, because it's not natural. And because it's not natural, I need something supernatural, something divine, mm-hmm. to come in and to change my character and to help me become conformed to the image of God and his Son.
This sounds terrible, but none of us are worth all that much. We have all been invested with value. The only reason we're important is because God made us important. And if we start believing that we are all that in a bag of chips, we need to watch ourselves, because I think the opposite of kindness is what I consider egoism.
Yeah.
I'm really important. And you need to recognize I'm really important. And if you don't recognize how important I am, then you got something coming. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous for all of us, because it turns from, I guess, kindness looking out for somebody else versus kindness looking out for number one and get out of my way. How can we be more kind?
I think Luke 6 is such an easy passage to go to when we catch ourselves being unkind. So I have it up here on the screen. Luke 6. 35 and 36. Luke 6, 35 and 36. Mm-hmm. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. So if we pause there momentarily, what can help me in my kindness, or what can help me achieve kindness? First of all, like you said, not thinking about myself, not looking out for myself all the time, not letting my life be controlled by my own ego and my own self-worth and importance, but loving even people that I might consider unlovable. Here he says, love your enemies. But it's much more than just loving your enemies. He says, do good. I can love you by saying, man, I'm not doing any evil towards you. And that's love. Well, he takes it a step further. He says, love, which means sacrifice and devotion and thinking of you as more important than myself, and then do good. Then he says, lend, give something without expecting anything in return. And as though God were our designer and were our creator, he says, I'm going to appeal to you on such a basic level. He says, your reward will be great. So if he stopped there, he says, this is a benefit for you. This is good for you. You're going to get something out of this. And even at our most fundamental, basic level, children know, man, if I do this and I get something in return, well, that does good for me.
Right.
And God could have stopped there. Or Jesus, excuse me, because that's where the quotation is coming from.
Yeah.
If Jesus stopped talking there, that would be enough. And I would say, okay, I need to be kind, especially towards my enemies, because it does something good for me. Yet the beauty of God's word is that's not where it stops. He goes on to say, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. We are called to conform our actions and our characters to God. What's going to help me be kind? Having the daily reminder that I am striving to be like God. Having these verses in my head, I'm going to love, do good, expect nothing. And that does good for me, but it also makes me a son of God.
How can kindness help us in God's upward call?
If God is kind to us, his hope is that we will be kind to one another. If God is kind to all, his hope is that we will be kind to all as well. Be kind, be Christ.
Kindness is not a difficult concept to grasp.
It's not. That was such a basic lesson that I preached on Sunday.
No, that's fine. But I think
yeah,
I think it's one of those things where you learn it, and if you learn it well, you don't have to relearn it.
We as parents say this to our kids, or at least I do.
Yeah,
just be kind.
Yeah,
and thankfully God doesn't just tell us in scriptures, hey, be kind.
Yeah,
hope you figure out what that means. He shows us what kindness looks like.
Yeah.
And if I have any doubt of what God's kindness looks like and what his expectation of my life is, I just need to look at how God has been kind to me. And if I start mimicking those things towards others, I'm going to draw closer to God. I'm going to answer the upward calling.
It is one of those universal things. We are all impressed by kindness. And we all have the opportunity to do those things, to be kind. And yet we probably don't take advantage of that as often as we should.
One of the things that I was thinking about, there's many applications that we can make to that. We can talk about how we need to stand out and we need to be different. But most importantly, wouldn't it be wonderful if, going back to your first question, when people saw us and they said, I'm excited to see the university group. I'm excited to see people that are part of that family. That's our goal, that we can achieve people's excitement, not because we're selling out the scripture, not because we're doing something that is exciting in and of itself, putting on a performance or a display or anything like that, but because they know that they're coming into a place where they will find a group of people that understand patience, love, mercy, gentleness, and kindness. And that is so hard to find in the world right now, Kenny.
Yeah.
That is so hard to pinpoint. And it is exciting, and it should be exciting when you see it lived out in God's people.
All right. Well, JP, I appreciate this discussion, man.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for your efforts and your diligence in putting this together. And I look forward to doing this again next month.
That sounds great. I appreciate it, JP.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get to know us more, you're welcome to watch a live stream service or join us in person at the University Church of Christ in Tampa, Florida. We have all of our information at universitychurchofchrist.org. Until next time, God bless you in your walk with God.